Well, it always, you know, even in the steel mill, when I worked at the locomotive shop, guys needed some little bolts or nuts for home. That was penny ante stuff, you know. If a guy needed it, he didn't have to go to hardware, you know, he could take a couple of them home. But that wasn't where the problem was. It was the ones that were greedy, that were trying to steal electric wire and stuff for the copper, you know. And that always got me, you know. Why would you jeopardize your employment over something like that? And then when I got to the barge company, it became more closer understanding than a big multi-billion dollar factory or steel mill. It really became something that, you know, we buy tools, and I was responsible for costs. If every tool that was ordered by an engineer, I went over it, and I would okay. I had to approve all of the requisitions from the engineers, and I would go over that stuff. You know, that's when I only had like 9-15 boats, I could do that. But then when you got 90 boats and all the stuff's coming in, you got to have port engineers that are going to approve this stuff. And the end result, you know, you can see as a manager where the money was going.
Right. And at the scale is, you know, because you're dealing with so many more boats.
Yeah. And you had to be careful. I know after I left Ingram, there was a big thing that happened. Somebody was taking stuff and had it in his garage, and he got the sheriff's department involved. I went to prison, one of the engineers. And they were doing that at the landing. The guys that worked at the landing, you know, boat engineers can work on their time off to help, you know, rebuilding engines and things like that. But somebody let it happen. You know, I had an engineer that took a drill press. They took an old drill press off the boat because he ordered a new one. And I went down and saw it. I said, "What happened to the old one?" Well, I took it home. I said, "Why did you order a new one?" Well, the other one was shot. I said, "Well, why would you take it home?" I said, "I'm going to tell you something. You get it back here right now. Just go get it and bring it back. And it'll be forgotten. Otherwise, I'm going to get you for theft." And I said, "You don't do that. Don't you ever do that. If you need something for the boat, you get it. But you're not going to take the other one home because you could fix it. If you could fix it, you fix it on a boat."
Right.
You know, it's little things like that that you kind of watch and you tell them, and then the word gets out and people don't do it because it's so tempting.
Right.
You know, there's no security to go through. Like in a steel plant, you're going through security, getting in and out of the gates.
Right.
And if you got a lunch bucket, you got to open it up and show it to them, you know. But here, you know, you get off the boat somewhere. I had a cook get off a boat one time, and I found out they were telling me that she was stealing stuff, that her son would meet her at the lock, and she would have her suitcase lifted off there. And then when she'd come into the landing, and this was at Ohio Barge Line early on, she'd come into the landing and just get in her car and go. And she was taking off all kinds of food stuff and everything. So these night watchmen told me about it. So when I waited one night until that boat came in, and we had a gate lock policy because I put in security guards. And she said, "Well, can I bring my car in here?" And I said, "For what?" "Well, I got, you know, I go out for 30 days. I have a lot of stuff, I, you know, stuff to take home." And I said, "What would you need to take home? How much stuff?" "Well, I got stuff on the boat." And I said, "You don't have any company stuff on there, do you? Because you'd put me in a pretty awkward position." "Oh, no, I don't take, you know." And I said, "Okay, get your car." Well, she got her car and went down on a boat. And she had all these boxes. And she had them tied and taped. And I seen a handhole, and I could see butter, packs of butter. And so when the crew brought up her stuff to put in the trunk, you know, look like a some kind of safari, all these guys carrying boxes on their shoulders. Mm. And I said, you know, what's in these? Well, there's some bones and stuff, dog bones and stuff that I keep for the dogs. I said, you know, there's a lot of food waste on our boats. I think I want to open up some of these and just see what kind of food the crews aren't eating that we're throwing away. She got nervous, you know, and I started cutting the ropes with a knife and opening the boxes. And she said, well, now there's some butter in there. And she said, but I had to work, I had to do a lot of extra work, you know, on my off time and that. And I just felt that that, I said, you get paid overtime when you have to work extra. You just file for it. I opened it up. She had so much stuff in there. So I called the manager of personnel, got him in there. It was about 8-9 o'clock at night, and we took it all up to the office and laid it out on a table. There was center cut, some meat, and I don't know what parts she was giving to the crew, but she had meats and steaks and pork chops. And I said, you know, Lil, you just can't do that. She got sick. She had to go home. She's a diabetic, and it got her so upset that we had to fire her. But she'd been doing it for years. And then these different captains came. Well, she's been doing it for years. About time somebody stopped it. And I said, you were the captain on the boat. You saw her pulling those suitcases up. Why didn't you stop that? Hmm. What's wrong with you people?
And this wasn't food that was necessarily even going bad or about to...
No, she saved the good stuff, kept it in the refrigerator, and then she'd pack it all in boxes and take it home. I mean, we took pictures of it and everything, but I don't know how. She worked there for years, and she got fired. And I was at the personnel manager. I said, John, that's your job. You do it. I was an operations manager then.